Today on Real Radio.
They stuck out the lip and they mocked the message of resurrection, yet it's something that every one of us wants in our lives, and the peace of it and the assurance of it. It's amazing.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative. Part of chapter 19 tells us of a Jewish sect that denied the final resurrection, which has yet to take place. Well, Jesus was challenged by a group of these. They posed another question designed to trip up the Messiah. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Resurrection Factor.
What is the resurrection anyway? What is it? What is the resurrection? First thing is this. It's the final act of redemption. You say, what? It's true. Resurrection is the final act of redemption. You all know from reading the Bible that, first of all, God announced in the Word of God that Jesus Christ would come. The announcement. Number two, what would Jesus Christ achieve when he came? Well, he would fulfill the law and the prophets. He would be absolutely perfect and sinless. And listen, he would go to the cross and die at the cross. We all understand that. We rejoice in that. Second, he would be resurrected from the dead. When Jesus Christ himself rose from the dead, what did that do? It guaranteed your salvation, redemption forever. It's one thing that he died. That's fantastic. But listen, if he would have died never to have been risen again, we'd be talking about the most wonderful love story for your soul, and it would be over because he's still in the tomb. You get me? I need somebody to say, yeah. Okay, but on Sunday morning, the tomb was found empty. Why? He rose again from the dead to put into power all that he had purchased. Jesus is not only the one who, in his New Testament, writes up the will, he empowers it by his death and then rises from the dead to enforce what he had just done. He's awesome. He does it all. He's it. And so, amen. And so this is what happens. Now that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and you and I are trusting in him, he is seated at the right hand of God the Father, where there, the Bible says, he makes intercession for us. Do you know what that means? You have no idea what that means. I have no idea what that means other than this. That between Jesus, who is our high priest now, says the Bible, he speaks to his Father, and he says, Father, this is what I'd like to have done in Jack's life. Father, this is what I'd like to have done in Susie's life. And Jesus represents your life, your case, your cause before the Father. The Bible calls him in the book of Romans our advocate. That's a legal term. Jesus is our legal representation before the bench, the bar of God. And how cool it is. Jesus shows up and you're wondering, what can this guy do for me? He's got sandals on and a robe. What can he do for me? Oh, a lot. Because when Jesus approaches the bench, the Father leans over and says, hi, son. What's on your mind? Jack? Susie? It's awesome. The last final act of redemption is this in your life. Resurrection. Look, have you been born again? The Bible says that you can't go to heaven without being born again. Here's the deal. You have been made alive in the Spirit. Your mind is different now. You think different. People who've never experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives to rejuvenate them, to regenerate them, they don't know what that's like. What do you mean you think different? I can tell you, we can tell you, that after accepting Christ, within a matter of hours, what you once held to, your mind changes. I don't think that anymore. I was once this way, and now I'm that way. God does it. You don't do it on your own. God does it. Not only does that happen, but now there's a deep-seated peace regarding death. None of us want to sign up for pain, right? None of us. I don't know about you, but I avoid pain at all costs. I got up this morning. I got up, and first thing I did was, before I ate anything, I ate some Aleve. Right now, that works really good for my lower back pain. Why have lower back pain? Because I'm over 50. Why? What's the big deal? I'm longing every day for resurrection. But listen, death for the believer is not some horrific thing. The truth is, we just want to get through it, get it over with. Why? Because it's what's on the other side. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What an awesome thing. The unbeliever can't say that. Oh, they walk through a valley of the shadow of death, all right, but they get to the other end and they fall down a hole. You and I go through the other end of that moment, and maybe we're dying for a minute, maybe we're dying for hours. That's God's business. But in that moment, by the way, is a holy, incredible transition where God begins to take what belongs to him. And our spirit, the Bible says, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And then you and I have got to clean up the mess afterwards. After you die and you go be with Jesus, you leave behind this carcass that we've got to deal with, put makeup on it, and then put a new suit on. You never had a new suit, but now you got a new suit that you're dead. And everyone's saying all this nice stuff about you. It's kind of fun. I'm kind of crazy, you know? But here's the deal. What are we doing? We are talking to, we're looking at, look at him. Doesn't he look peaceful? He's dead. The man is dead. That body's not going anywhere. Uncle Mike, I who are you talking to? That's for us to talk. They can't hear you. Why? The real them is gone. They're not there anymore. Trust me, they didn't cease to exist. They're in eternity now. The body is like a turtle shell without the turtle in it. It's a turtle shell. No one says, look, a turtle. No, it's a shell. It's a turtle shell. You don't say, Uncle Bob. No, that's Uncle Bob's carcass. That's his shell, right? Because he is with the Lord. We pray that he accepted the Lord before he turned into a shell. But the final act of resurrection is redemption. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold for your aimless conduct received by the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus purchased for you and I redemption by his blood. It's amazing and it is awesome. In Acts chapter 4, verse 33, the Bible says, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. The gospel is preaching resurrection. That's good news to normal thinking people. Why should I believe in Jesus? Because, my friend, he'll resurrect you from the dead. Now, most of us believe and trust and pray, Lord, come back. We'll talk later about that. I'm speaking of the rapture. I don't want to die. I don't want to go under the ground. Well, listen. If the Lord comes today, then we will experience what believers for 2,000 years have been longing for. And I hope he does come today. That'd be fantastic. Are you ready? Yeah. I'm ready. So how do you get ready? Trust Christ. Amen. He could come today. But if he doesn't come today, oh my goodness, if he doesn't come today. Did you hear about that lady? I don't have her name. But you know that Air France flight that crashed into the ocean, or they don't know what happened to that thing, right? You know what I'm talking about? She was supposed to be on the flight. She missed the flight. From Sao Paulo, Brazil to Paris, everyone perished on the flight, on that Air France flight. Do you guys, you know what I'm talking about? Okay. She misses the flight. I missed the flight. In Brazil, the luckiest woman alive. She gets in her car and gets killed in a car crash. What is that? When your number's up, man, it's up. The Bible says all of us, all of our days are numbered by the Lord. Did you know that? He knows the exact day you're going to go. So, man, I'm going to work out so I can live longer. Ain't going to do it. It's not going to do anything. Well, I'm just going to sit around and eat burgers until I die. Not going to do anything. You'll just feel miserable or feel better until you get to the day. When that day comes, God says, I know the day. You don't know the day. I know the day. And that day, he just pulls the plug on you. You can be, hey, man, how you doing? Plug is pulled. Are you ready to meet God in eternity? Jesus came that you and I would be ready to meet him in eternity. And that's something that we better prepare for now. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto every person once to die, and then comes the judgment. You see, that's terrifying. Of course it's terrifying. But read the fine print. The Bible says for those who accept Christ, they pass from judgment to life. That's the good thing. Can you imagine? You're dying, you're dead, you appear before the Lord, and the Lord says, next. You want me to just move on? Just move on. Get in. Come on in. But what about, don't say anything. Just keep moving. You pass from judgment to life if you know Christ. Another thing about what is resurrection is that it's the ultimate victory. It's not only the final act of redemption for the believer because our bodies will be raised from the dead, but listen, it's the ultimate victory over the grave. Be honest with yourself. You want to beat the grave. You want to beat death. In Acts 17:30, the Bible says, truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commends all men everywhere to repent. Change the way you think. That's what that word means, metanoia. Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance to this, to all, by raising him from the dead. And when they heard the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we'll hear you again on this matter. And the word mocked there in the book of Acts is amazing. They heard about the good news that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. And listen, an honest person will say, wow, what an incredible announcement. We can beat the grave through Jesus. Some people mocked. And here's the reason why I pulled this verse out for you. The word mock in Greek means to stick out the lip. They went, they mocked. That's ridiculous. Why would they mock such great news? Why would you make fun of such great news? Because you know what? It's what I've heard many times before. The gospel's too good to be true. They stuck out the lip and they mocked the message of resurrection. Yet it's something that every one of us wants in our lives, and the peace of it and the assurance of it. It's amazing. In Romans 6, verse 5, the Bible says, for we have been planted together in the likeness of Jesus' death, and we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man, that's not your grandpa or your dad, that's your old, your flesh, your old person. Know this, that your old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should no longer serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. I love that. You guys, mark that verse down. Every one of you who are Christians, you need that verse. It's Romans 6, verses 5 through 7. Why? Because the person who is dead to sin is alive to God. Say, how does that happen? When you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit takes control of your life. My friends, listen, don't think for a moment you can clean your life up and come to God. He won't accept you because you can't do that. If you are a mugger, a prostitute, bank robber, liar, arrogant, I mean, whatever we are, we can't clean that up and then say, hey, God, accept me now. What you're really saying is, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, move over. Now there's four of us. You can't do that to you. You come before God with all of the filth and all of the nasty thoughts and jealousies and envies and all that stuff that goes on in the human, and you say, God, have mercy on me. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. Forgive me my sins. Look at me, God. And God says, okay, calm down. You got it. I, who knew no sin, became sin for you that you might receive the righteousness of God that is available through me by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:21. That's why when we get to heaven, we're going to walk around saying, I can't believe I'm here. And I'm going to say, I can't believe you're here. And you're going to say, Jack, I can't believe that you're here either. And we're going to walk around forever saying, can you believe it? It's awesome. Can you believe it? We are sinners saved by the grace of God. You say, oh, I don't like the way you're talking. It kind of sounds like you're encouraging people to go out and sin. Nope, because when the Spirit of God moves into your life, all that changes in the way that you live, for real. Don't think for a moment, because somebody says they're a Christian, that they're a Christian. Don't be duped anymore. If somebody, listen, pretend that person can't talk. Let's just say they're mute. And they hold up a sign. I'm a Christian. Then you hold up a sign back and say, I'm going to watch you for 30 days and I'll tell you if you're a Christian for real. That's true Christianity. It should happen and be a witness without a word. You ought to be able to move into my house and find out, listen, am I sinless? Nope. But you should be able to move into my house and 30 days conclude, this guy loves the Lord. He's a bonehead, but he loves the Lord. We need to understand the gospel. It's not cleaning ourselves up and coming to him. It's coming to him just as we are in that song that you sing. I come just as I am. God does the work. And it's an ultimate victory over the grave because Jesus shattered the power of the grave. Also this, it's reconstruction. What is resurrection? Well, it's not reincarnation. Yeah, but Oprah said that. I don't care what Oprah says. It's not resuscitation. Jesus was not buried in the tomb and then somehow revived. I feel better now. In the cool, damp, rejuvenating powers of the tomb. And no, he was dead. And he rose again because of resurrection. We do not believe in reincarnation. That's Eastern mysticism. We believe in resurrection because the Bible teaches it. Get a load of this. This is, I tell you, your homework today is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You read that, you'll have a lot of fun. But this is part of it right here. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You can't go there with the skin that you have arranged as it is. It needs to be reconstructed. The very same skin, mind you. Somebody asked me first service, but what about cremation? I said, what about it? I said, well, before I ask you, answer your question, let me ask you, what about a shark eating you out in the ocean? What? I said, what if you're Joe Christian and you're out there and you get swallowed by a shark? What's God going to do? Oh my gosh, he got swallowed by a shark. What am I going to do about resurrection? I don't know what to do. The shark digests you with its acids in its tummy and you go out and you're just wet dust. You're shark potty, but you're wet dust. It's the same thing as a Christian who loves the Lord getting burned at the stake for their faith in Jesus. Cremation, burning, destruction, crushing, shark attacking, none of that thwarts the works of God. Oh no, what are we going to do? Listen, dust we are and dust we shall return. The awesome thing is resurrection is God's the one who assembles all the dust particles. Imagine that. Did you donate something to somebody? You know, I donated my kidney to my brother, and your brother flies to Bangkok and winds up dying of old age. Where will my kidney be in the resurrection? In the long line of kidneys, God knows exactly whose kidney belongs to who and will resurrect that kidney in the end. Well, what is it? Does it have to happen? Oh, let me tell you something. If it doesn't happen in absolute resurrection, then we ain't got a Bible and we don't have a God because our God is a resurrection God. Amen. It's amazing. It's incredible. You and I will stand before God, says Job, in our flesh. It's just going to be changed. Why? Because it says in 1 Corinthians 15:50 that this flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We've got to be changed. It's the last act of redemption. These bodies are going to be changed. In fact, he goes on to say, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. That should be on the nursery over there in the nursery building. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. They're changing your kids right now. They may not be sleeping, but they're being changed. We may not all die. Why? What does the Bible say we may not all die? Because we could get caught today in the rapture. Oh, man, that would be awesome. Well, why is that such a big deal? Because you don't have to die. And I'm all for that. He says that we will be changed in a moment. By the way, the word change is metamorphosis. We will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet of God, the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised, and we who are alive shall be changed in that instant. That's going to be awesome. I hope I'm doing a funeral that day. And now we lay to rest, brother Mike. Whoa. Can you imagine? Oh, man, he's up. He's gone. We are spiritual creatures. You guys, it is amazing. This is a regathering of our bodily existence. God assembles it for heaven. It's reconstruction. Think of the current condition that you and I are in right now. We're Christians. We're growing in the grace of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Do you know more about God today than you did last year? Yeah. Okay, well, then how much more do you weigh? Have you learned a lot about God? Yep. How much pounds did you gain? See, what are you, nuts? Put the thing up on the screen. What is that? A jump drive or whatever, right? You're going to store data on there? You go down to Staples and you buy it. How much does it weigh? Maybe, I don't know. I have no idea. But it's very light. Let's just say an ounce. You bring it home and you plug it into your computer. And you download all of your data onto that thing right there. Now it's full. In fact, it says full. What's full? Its memory's full. You unplug it and you set it on a scale. How much more does it weigh? Why? Because what was put on it was information. It doesn't change the physical structure just yet of it at all. What happens is everything important has been put on that. What about a computer? You take a computer, you buy a computer, it weighs 4 pounds. It's absolutely dumb, by the way, until you get it home, right? And you get it home and you download all your music on there, you get your iTunes on there, you got your iPhoto, you got your iWhatever, you got all this stuff on there, and it's got all this data, so much so that it says, hey, be careful, you're starting to fill me up. Okay? Does it weigh 6 pounds now that you put all the data on it? Same weight. Why? Because what's on it or inside of it is spiritual. Can I use that word? You can't touch it. You can look at it, you can see evidence of it, but you can't weigh it, you can't feel it. You can see the evidence of it. Next slide. Disc. The disc weighs the same the day you bought it as the day that it says, I'm full. Disc is full. Well, then how much more does it weigh? What's my point? Look at you. You're growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. How wonderful is this of our God? You're becoming more like Christ from the inside out. The last thing to become like Christ is this body of ours. In fact, I'm going to say something. Act like you like it because I made it up. The more that we consume, spend time with God, in obedience to God, in the Word of God, what is of God in the life of the believer, it's the job of the Holy Spirit to take you from glory to glory until the Scripture says, Christ be formed in you. I think as we ingest the things of God, eventually, ultimately, it's what God has put in us that begins to come out. That's why people who knew you before you knew Jesus, and now they know you now, they say things like, you're different.
And pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called The Resurrection Factor. It's a look at one of the times the Messiah was challenged by his detractors and how he demonstrated his divine wisdom. We find this in Luke chapter 20 and verses 27 through 40. It's part of our teacher's verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter journey through this eyewitness narrative. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you haven't visited the new realradioactive.org lately, pay us a visit. In fact, click the tab Radio Reaction and see how Real Radio is affecting the lives of other listeners, realradioactive.org. And then, of course, if you've got something to share with us in that department, you can tell us right then and there. realradioactive.org, then click the tab Radio Reaction. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can also be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.